it's Thursday, therefore it must be the Soccer Central podcast. Welcome, one and all. I'm James Sharman. Beside me is Thomas Dobby. And beside him, kind of, is Brendan Dunlop. Hey, fellas.
All right.
How you doing? There's a giant board for the listeners to describe separating Thomas Dobby and I, so we're technically not beside each other.
And a giant quaff of Jerry Curl in your
head. Oh, yes. Take it easy, bro.
Those of you who
how we opened the show, TV appearances,
you wouldn't recognize him. Like, there is no product in his hair at all right now.
What's funny is that this is not the first time you guys have seen me sans product.
But you wear a hat then, in that case.
All the time.
It looks like that's the way your hair is going to look like when you're about 70. It's quite the quaff, salt and pepper quaff. Yeah.
Take it each, okay?
Yeah.
Be,
take it each.
Be blessed that you don't have gray hairs to deal with.
Yes.
We need more new music for this podcast. Listen, Soccer Central music's lovely and all. And by the way, Soccer Central, I'm thinking it might return at some point to the airwaves.
Yeah.
We're thinking it might, yeah. I think it will at some point. Can't give too many details right now.
But, people have been tweeting.
They've been asking questions.
Is that hence?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're hoping it will return. Just bear with us. But the music, it just doesn't suit this podcast, does it? I know it's a Soccer Central podcast.
Need more guitars, like,
yeah.
Remember that old show?
The football show? No.
There was the Caucho show?
No.
Three letters. It was abbreviated to three letters. There was a T in there.
T-Y-K.
Take a kick. Was it Thursdays?
Wednesdays.
Take a kick?
No,
Wednesdays.
Take a kick.
Wednesdays. It's Wednesdays.
You sure it was Wednesdays?
No, 100%.
TYK Thursdays.
Oh yeah,
Thursdays,
it was the phone in.
After Say Thursday.
That's right.
Monday we did the rap. Yeah.
Tuesday was the Saturday
show.
Show.
We're talking about here.
Yeah.
In a different life.
Many
years ago.
What you're saying is,
remember we spent hours trying to find the right tune for that. We had no rights, so I thought, well, what's the vibe of the show? Well, it's kind of like Brit pop, kind of, you know, Brit rock. So we got typed in Oasis to our, like, you know, our search engine for music back then, those days. And it's a pretty good song came out, actually.
Yeah, it was pretty good, yeah.
And actually, the band that performed it actually tweeted me and said, thanks for using our song.
Wow. Really? Yeah. I don't know what that elaborate lie was all about. We all know that you self-taught yourself the guitar and played it. So what the hell's that all about, Charms?
Yeah.
KG did the vocals.
Yeah, exactly.
The background.
That awful Preston accent. Sorry, KJ. I'm just kidding.
You
it's
and
not
your,
awful.
You
it's
and your
Preston, actually, is it? But anyway,
you and your colonial accent, though. I mean, how can you take stabs?
Actually, KJ is pretty colonial these days too.
You think so?
His R's slip more than mine do.
Ah, wow.
Oh yeah, I've noticed. I've noticed.
Interesting.
Make him rest in peace.
People still can't figure out what part of Australia you guys are from.
I know, mate. You're right. Well, anyway, let's get some football talk, shall we?
Oi, Panas. Panas.
Oh, recycling jokes. I love this.
Well, funny show humor. We're stepping back into the past today. Lee Ellis, back in the good old days. Now a superstar in the States.
Superstar in the States.
He has 50,000 Twitter followers.
Oh, my God.
People at games show up with signs. Oi, Lee.
No.
At games.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Our boy Lee Ellis, formerly of the Basketball Jones, now the starters in the States. Yeah, 50,000 Twitter followers, which is like 15 times what you have, Punis.
That is true, and that's fine. No R's, though, when he says the starters.
Nah, mate. Status.
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 All right, for status.
This podcast is amazing.
We have, like,
for
new
status.
Listeners to this podcast who have never heard of the show. They're thinking, this sucks, this is awful, and they're clicking off right now.
Bunch of twats.
Let's get to some soccer talk, shall we? Champions League draw went today, and it really is a case of the end justifies the means, because once again, UEFA, I don't know who produces these broadcasts and these gala presentations, but they're bloody awful. They are just awful.
I didn't even watch it today.
No,
usually
I didn't
like
either.
Them just because they're so bad. Like the World Cup, the draws, and like even the opening ceremonies this year were just deplorable.
It's just
awful.
Who thinks that these are relevant?
I don't know.
Presentations
have
in
you,
2014.
But you've been to Europe many a times. You've watched European broadcasts. Have you not sat an evening trying to find something on TV and thought, God, there's nothing worth watching on TV? It's completely... It replicates
it's done
European television.
Different way, certainly. Well, let's not... Continental Europe, perhaps.
Ah, okay.
It is. I mean, listen, not to say, oh, it's great in Britain, because far from it, but they would do a much better job if it were the Brits producing these presentations than whoever it is. Now, they rolled some great little montages in. I tweeted that it looked like the Soccer Central or the Footy Show because they're a great montage, but there's so many of them. And I'm sorry, Peter Schmeichel, you are a wonderful goalkeeper, but get some real freaking hosts, will you? Really?
Yeah.
What?
Not good.
Our boy Pedro Pinto and
he
Kay Murray? They weren't available?
Pedro Pinto wasn't there. I'm concerned for his well-being.
I think he may have left Doyen Sports Group. That was a rumor.
Yes. I read somewhere he is now a press guy for
some club.
It might be for
Doyen.
I don't know.
Let's look this up.
Let's look it up. If we had internet here,
Lucas Pongari, tweet us. This will be posted 17 minutes after we record this.
Yes. Anyway, let's get to the draw itself, shall we? Some pretty interesting groups. A couple of fortunate draws for some pretty big teams. Let's go group by group quickly here. Group A has Atletico Madrid, Juventus, Olympiacos, and Malmo. Atletico, Juve, you would think would run through there, right?
Mm. You would think. Olympiacos had a decent look last Champions League campaign last season. They did pretty well. They got through the group. So I don't know if it's a slam dunk. I mean, obviously Juventus was disappointing last year and going out that game in Galatasaray with the, you know, the snow, and then they had to replay it, and just I don't know. I think it's difficult to say it's a slam dunk for those two. They're obviously the favorites, but I think every group as we go through them, we'll kind of see that there's the two favorites and then everyone else. I don't think there is a classic group of death. I know everyone's saying that Man City group with Bayern and Roma, but okay, that may be the most difficult, but I think every group has its own intrigue, and this one, slam dunk, I think that's a bit of a gamble to say that.
I look at this one, those two are obviously the favorites, but I can see both of them maybe dropping points on trips to Athens. I think that that's what Olympiacos has to their advantage. They played a really good, solid system in their matches last year and how they were able to steal points. I think they might do that, and I think Atletico is vulnerable. I mean, yes, they're the Spanish champions. Yes, they reached the Champions League final, and I always said they're not this good, they're not this good. And they totally proved me wrong. But I think that they have some frailties this year. Obviously, they've lost a lot of players. I think they're still gelling. And I think that the whole Simeone thing, I mean, I think it's going to affect, it really affects the room. Having, not that he's just in general being a hothead, I think that was good for the room. But the fact that, you know, UEFA's all over them for how he acted after the final.
Eight-match ban.
And like, well, I just feel like that'll play into a theme of the year that
maybe,
missing your manager for that.
He's the kind of guy, and he's done in the past, that he will use that as their motivation, you know, us against them. And, and last year, yes, they had some wonderfully skilled players, but it was that togetherness and that never say die attitude that really got them through some pretty tough games when perhaps they should not have won those games.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see without him on the sidelines, can he still, percolate that in the room?
Combine that with the fact that I don't think their squad's as good.
No, but they've made some nice signings.
They lost
though.
Courtois, they lost
job.
Felipe, but, you know. They brought in some good pieces.
I like Mandzukic up front in particular. Yeah. They've done okay. But, you know, you're right. It's not a slam dunk. And even Juventus, listen, no more Conte there.
Mm-hmm.
And a pretty quiet transfer window. They brought in Morata from Real Madrid. They brought in Patrice Evra. And that's really about it, isn't it?
Morata's out.
Yeah.
Injured, yeah.
How long is he out for?
Months.
Right.
Yeah.
And you still think that Vidal could still go. I mean, there's still time.
And so. Pirlo's out for the first month as well. And under Max Allegri at AC Milan, Pirlo was seen as being too old and over the hill. So, you know, there are question marks.
Could be
there.
A tough season for Juventus. It's going to be interesting.
Three straight and dominating football in the Serie A, so, which kicks off this weekend, by the way.
It does.
So, the more I look at it, it's a pretty intriguing group, that one. Group B, Real Madrid, Basel, Liverpool, and Ludogorets. Ludogorets, who is the new Genk for me. Loving my Ludogorets. The match on Wednesday in the qualifying round was as incredible a finish as I think you'll ever see. The goalkeeper, what's his name, Stoyanov, got a red card in the dying seconds of extra time. They had no subs left. So the centre-back, Kosmin Motsi, dons the gloves and the backup keeper's shirt. First of all says, I'm taking a penalty.
Yep,
scores
the first penalty,
the first one, just buries it, and then goes on to make two saves and wins the shootout. Amazing. Loved it.
The new Genk.
That's the memory. That is just incredible. And you just knew once it happened that he was going to make a couple saves and they were going to win. And at home, and the fact that they scored virtually the last kick, I love the keeper's reaction for Steaua Bucharest, by the way, when it went in.
What a
stun.
What?
Just his eyes just did the
mean
dead
in
stare.
In regulation time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what a goal it was.
What a goal. Wanderson.
Wanderson.
And then he had an awful penalty in the shootout as well. And the fact that Motsi used to play for Dinamo Bucharest and is Romanian and playing against Steaua, their rivals. I mean, all of those stories. You, it honestly, I think the commentator said it you know, it's a Hollywood script. It's totally true. You couldn't make that up.
Yeah.
It was
there
pretty
are treatments
much perfect.
Being written as we speak.
I'm so glad I put it on and watched the end of it. I'm so glad that Sportsnet put it on actually as well, because
well, you know, I was hosting yesterday with Craig, and it was funny because listen, we're like anyone else, we're lazy. We're thinking, just finish these damn games in regulation, you know, just get us
we
home
get
early
here,
and then the one game that goes long, are you kidding me?
Ludicrous.
And turns out it was fantastic.
It was
we really
amazing.
Enjoyed it
we
and
won't
it was
forget that.
Great drama, right?
If you had told me 2 years ago, or even if you told me last week that Dobby would give like a heartfelt, informative description of this Romanian, you know, this Romanian triumph, I would have said give over, mate. That's not
a little known fact. There's this club born in 2001, plays in front of just 8,000 fans, and in fact, their stadium won't meet the UEFA demands for stadiums in the Champions League, so they'll be playing elsewhere.
Really, elsewhere in Belarus,
Sofia, or somewhere, maybe not even in Bulgaria.
I didn't
know
more
information for you there.
Interesting. So Opta, have they developed some chip that you stick into your brain, because there's no way you're I'm astonished that your memory has
actually that wasn't from Wikipedia.
Can I also correct something that we spoke about that I got incorrect? Well, according to Alvaro Morata himself, he will be back in 30 days as of some Goal.com report that was posted on August 4th. So not months.
I had a great tweet from someone. Actually, I mentioned how Ludogorets were born in 2001, and some guy goes, "That's amazing. That's just 2 years before Chelsea were born."
I thought you were going to say
any
me
year
for
after
a second.
Putters was born. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Your,
the joke
your
was
gang
going.
Is my Malmo. I like Malmo.
Malmo.
Liquid hot Malmo.
Malmo. We discussed for 5 minutes Group B and haven't mentioned yet.
Real Madrid
or Liverpool.
Oh.
Who, you know, they are the overwhelming favourites. Now, Basel have caused them all issues in the past. I think Basel actually
played
kicked
English
out
teams
Liverpool
well.
Back in 2002.
Possibly. No, they also beat Man United.
That's right.
Knocked Man United out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they also played Chelsea pretty well in the Europa League. They play English teams well. I don't know what.
But it was under a previous
really
coach
says,
they were doing that.
Sure.
And since, I forget the new guy's name. But anyway,
you
since
don't
he's,
know Basel's
I,
coach
I
name,
mention that.
Fraud.
Since he's
Fraud.
Taken over, though, the results haven't been what they were.
They're the best Swiss team, I would say.
Of course, last time Liverpool met Real was 2009, and the Reds moved on 5-0 over both legs. Look at these teams. I mean, that team for Liverpool had Gerrard, obviously, Torres at his best, Mascherano, Xabi Alonso, Ryan Babel. And Real had Schneider and Robin. It was that era. Remember Las Diarra?
Yep.
Patrolling the field for Real Madrid. Raul was there still. Cannavaro was there. It's amazing how these teams change so much. In
so much.
Really a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
But it will be a different story this time around, certainly. Real, by the way, celebrating tonight because your boy CR7 won the European Player of the Year award.
Yeah. Well, there was no one else.
Award ceremony. Boy.
Xabi Alonso also retired from Spain, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. What a list of players retiring.
Yeah. They're definitely
Hall of Fame list of players.
Yeah, it's in a big time. It's going to be a bit of a rebuild there.
Eto.
More than that, Steven Gerrard, of course, Frank Lampard, and others.
Pirlo,
yeah.
Yeah. So what you're saying
did
is the international game is going to be awful. Did he not?
Let's Google this again. I don't know.
Let's see
if I switched off pretty soon after the World Cup when I was on vacation, mm-hmm. so he may well have retired.
I will use the Google machine. Also, correcting things we've spoken about that we don't know the answers to, Pedro Pinto is the chief of press for UEFA in the president's office.
That's who it is.
He's also the official spokesman for European football's governing body, and his location is Nyon, Switzerland.
He's polishing Michel Platini's shoes as we speak right now, who has just
polishing
pulled out
something.
Of the FIFA presidential race, by the way. So everyone, Sepp Blatter's getting back in power. Wonderful, huh?
There you go. Pinto will have another job.
Jeez, what a joke.
Polishing something for Blatter, probably. All right.
Good. Yeah. Ronaldo, by the way, said that by the time he got to the World Cup, he had nothing left. He gave it all to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And he has no regrets because they pay his bills. As a Portugal fan, B, how do you feel about that?
It's incredibly frustrating to hear that. But at the same time, I think that in this situation, the reality is that That's the reality.
Yeah,
that's
it's
the
becoming
truth.
More and more prevalent, which sucks because obviously we love the international tournaments, the World Cup and Euros, and they really are, you know, this shining spectacle for the game that we love. But I think we've had this discussion before many times over different incarnations that the best soccer in the world nowadays is in the Champions League. It's not in the international game, and it's a shame that you know, you don't get the best of everyone at those tournaments, and because it's, you know, more for love than for the money, and they don't pay for it. These players are more dedicated often to the clubs now, even though they play for a country for their whole career, and clubs come and go, and, you know, this is already Ronaldo's third.
Sure.
You still, at that time, they're the ones that are setting you up for life, and they're the ones that you work for 11 months of the year. So.
And so they should, right? I mean, yeah, as a fan of the club, you want your players given 100%, and they should. And maybe that's why World Cups are now being dominated by younger players, because they can, you know, give their all for their club and also perform in June and July. Whereas Ronaldo, who's touching 30 now,
right?
You know, can't do that.
And the young players
level of football for so long.
I think international football, and I hope that it doesn't change, because it would really take away from the relevance and the entertainment level of it and the importance of it, is that international football is that big stage for these young players to make their name, for Marcus Rojo to get a £16 million move to Manchester United. Otherwise, he's not. He might move to another Champions League team, but he's not getting that. And to go back to Ronaldo's case, and despite those words, I don't question his passion for that national team shirt. When he pulls it on, he wants to win as much as everyone. But he doesn't have the talent around him to be able to achieve the ultimate goal, as he does with his club.
I don't think he was that bad
anyway. No.
He was the best player for Portugal, which doesn't say much, sadly, for Portuguese fans. But you're right. He didn't have the players around him. He tried everything.
He tried everything. And that day in Manaus, you know, we were sitting in that boardroom. I almost put my head through the drywall watching that game against the States. And you could tell, like, be it the conditions and be it his knee, he didn't have anything left. In the 94th minute, 55 seconds, puts in the ball of his life for Varela to put his head on. And they, you know, salvaged a draw and lived to fight another day. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't hold that against him despite those comments. I think that he's that passion for his country is still there. The reality is that he's got to put more priority into preserving, I think, himself and his body for his club.
And that's why you're seeing all these players retiring now.
Yeah.
You know, Philip Lahm's not old. He could keep playing for his country, but he decides, I want to give all for my club. They pay the bills. And, you know, you can, I think, probably prolong your career a couple of years.
Yeah, and I want to take that international break and have some time with my family and relax and not have to fly all over and do this and that. And, you know, if you put in your service, I get it. I don't think we can fault them. It's still disappointing for, you know, fans of the game and fans of those countries, because you want to see them do it. But, God, I say all the time to friends that are non-soccer, you know, fans and stuff, just think about how much these guys get 2 weeks off a year if they play at a major tournament, which is every other year for those players.
And that whole crap, oh, but they're playing a game, they're lucky. And they are lucky, but there's no doubt the demands on the body is just incredible.
It's insane.
And you know, just because they're making £200,000 a week doesn't mean they're, you know, they're not human beings.
No, NFL players make the same money over here, and they play with preseason. They play 20 games a year if they don't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I know it takes a toll, but it's once a week, and then you get 5 months, 6 months off in the offseason to go get caught with weed in your car. I mean, that's the NFL. It's crazy how
much. Or pop Molly in Miami and get 8 days.
And,
right?
Yeah, or beat up a girlfriend and get suspended 2 games.
Jeez, the NFL's a mess.
Why do you socialize with non-football fans, by the way?
Yeah, I know. That's weird.
They must be idiots.
Yeah.
Idiots! We can say it because there's obviously none listening
Reed
to this.
Ken Reed hates soccer.
Does he hate it, though?
Yeah.
I don't think he hates it.
He gives it a hard
no,
time.
I know. I've taken some flack from Ken in the past, but he hates a strong word, Tom.
Yeah. No, he does.
Okay, he's got a book out, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
He's got a book out?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't aware.
Stories behind hockey cards, right?
Oh.
I saw it on Tim and Sid today. Looked pretty good, got to say. Hockey's approaching,
pretty
boys, and getting exciting.
All right.
Mm-hmm. What did the door say today when you walked in? 39?
39. Well, 39 people. Is it 39 days? The same number of talent working on these broadcasts? Because that was announced today as well, and it's 39.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, we're all very much excited for
not your name, though.
Hockey Central with James Sharman and Nazem Kadri, the once a month
sit-down
special.
There's no reason why I can't, just because of my accent, you know. Xenophobes! All right, Group C. Benfica, Zenit St. Petersburg, Bayer Leverkusen, and Monaco.
I like this group. It's a tricky, tough group. I mean, Zenit have really been poor in Europe the last few times out, the last couple of Champions League campaigns.
Yeah.
Last year, they had a very straightforward group. They were, I believe, along with Atletico, and then a couple of crap teams, and they couldn't even get through that. I mean, it was really poor from them. Benfica's always a factor, and, you know, they've had some tricky groups in the past, but this one is, you look at the third and fourth seeded teams, Leverkusen and Monaco. I mean, those are strong teams. Leverkusen showed it in the playoffs how good they can be, and had a really good campaign in Germany last year. Started this campaign well. They already beat Dortmund away from home. And then Monaco, of course, with all their high-priced talent, even though, you know, some
they're
is
losing
gone.
Half of it.
Well, they're trying to ship out Falcao on loan because they can't.
If he goes.
You know what?
Monaco's an interesting one. I don't know what they're really up to these days.
I don't see Monaco Berbatov, as half of the threat as they were. I think that Zenit is liable to finish higher than Monaco in this group. You look at trying to get rid of Falcao to keep their wages manageable. I think they're dealing with that tax battle, and that's their issue. Trying to ship him out. Who's going to pay 20 million euros to just grab him on loan for a year, though? Mm-hmm. With this, in this climate, someone still will. They got rid of Reviere, right? He's at Newcastle. Yeah. So I don't think Monaco are half the threat that they were.
I think you could throw up these four teams and they could land anywhere 1-4 or 4-1, and you wouldn't really be shocked if that's how it ended. I mean,
Leverkusen isn't looking good, though. I mean, they beat Dortmund on the weekend in the opening of the Bundesliga. Yeah. Scored within 9 seconds of that game starting. Yeah. Roger Schmidt's the new manager there, who looks a little bit like a slightly younger, shadier Yogi Love, by the way. He looks a bit dodgy.
Does he pick his nose and eat it as well?
Or is that I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's just that's a Yogi Love special.
He may or may not star in German Scheiße videos. Don't know.
Oh, boy.
Don't know what they are. Never seen them.
As biased and passionate as I am for Benfica, I think they're going to have a very difficult year on all fronts. I don't see them being nearly as much of a threat. Wouldn't stun me if they got out the group, but I'd be impressed if they did.
Group D, Arsenal, Borussia Dortmund, Galatasaray, and Anderlecht. It's an interesting one too, isn't it?
Being Belgium,
Galatasaray is kind of the X factor. What Gala will show up for this one?
Yeah.
And no easy away games there. I mean, when you look at Arsenal, they just had to go to Turkey in the qualifying against Besiktas. Galatasaray, welcome to hell. Anderlecht has a very good home crowd, very good home support and stadium. I mean, they've been pretty fun to watch, actually, in Europe the last couple of seasons.
They still tend to have a very poor record. They come up short a lot.
Sure, they're not great, but the crowd's know, really good and tough and get behind them.
It's a European night,
for sure. Very good European night, and Dortmund, obviously, has been a force the last few seasons. So another interesting group. It's not straightforward at all. It's going to be tricky.
Arsenal scouts were at Dortmund on the weekend, apparently, against Leverkusen. Arsene Wenger says, despite Giroud's injury, he's not going to spend, surely, with the injection of cash from the Champions League now, they have to spend some money.
If you're relying on Yaya Sanogo, who doesn't have a Premier League goal, you're in trouble. I mean, Sanchez, but do you really want him playing up top as your striker? I don't think so.
Wenger says that's why he bought him, to do that role.
Yeah, but that's, I don't know, is that it, as if that's something that maybe he's expressed that he wants to take on that challenge and have that role, then sure, give it to him. But you're also I think you're making him more vulnerable to being clattered if he's playing up there as that number nine more so than now. Yeah. And you don't have the cover to afford that.
He needs a free role, right? You can't say you're up top or you're a right winger. I'd rather see him out wide with a license to do what he wants, because at Udinese, that's what he did.
Look how much better they were in the second half against Everton when Giroud came on. They were lifeless. They were awful in the first half. They did nothing. Giroud came on at halftime, and they were a different team. He had all kinds of chances. He scored the equalizer, on 90 minutes by basically just out-muscling a defender for a header.
Yeah.
They need somebody like that. Giroud has been coming into his own. I know he gets a lot of flack, but he is a huge piece to that team. And to lose him and not replace him would be absolutely ridiculous. And
if any team could and should afford a Falcao loan for a year, that might be the team.
Should afford it? I mean, it's very against their policy, right?
They
even though they've broken
policy.
That a couple
the
of years.
Changed. I mean, they can afford who they want, right? They keep telling us that. They got 42 million with Ozil last year. Similar amount for Sanchez. The money's there.
Paid off that stadium,
nasty midfielder as well. So, one thing about Wenger, though, he is very secretive, and a lot of news and rumors leak out of many clubs. Very few leak out of Arsenal, I find. Ozil was like just over the course of a matter of days last season. Like, holy, where did that come from?
Big comeback season for Nicholas Bentner on the way.
Oh boy, where did he go?
Right? I don't know.
It's in Germany. Is it Wolfsburg?
Oh yes, it was Wolfsburg. And even at his unveiling, they said, I remember that. At his unveiling, they said, there was a few other strikers that we were chasing. In the end, we got Nicholas Bentner. And I could tell, understandably, I think the guy meant it as a compliment. Yeah. This is who we got. Yeah. But it doesn't come out that way.
Not when you're
talking about Bentner.
Group E, a very similar group to last year's group. Bayern Munich, Man City, CSKA Moscow, with Roma added to the mix here. That for me, it's a group of death. For me, it is a group of death.
Is it? Yeah. Nah. I get what you mean.
Really good team. Should be Italian champions, if not for a record-setting Juventus last year. Yes, they've lost some players, but they've added as well this year, I think. And I think it's going to be a real challenge for one of those three.
Well, the pressure's all on Man City. I mean, to not have gotten out of a group yet. This is the time. They have to do it this time. And the fact that, you know, they are the English champions and, you know, are going to be in a real battle with, you would think, Chelsea and possibly the likes of Arsenal or Liverpool to challenge for the title this season. They have to do it on both fronts. And is the squad deep enough, talented enough to do it? I don't know. But if they don't get out of this group stage, even if they win the league again, I think that it's going to be seen as disappointing, incredibly disappointing. They have to get Europe is the thing that they want. This team wants to be in that conversation of the top five teams in the world. And to not get out of a group stage 2 years in a row now, they have to do it this season. And it's going to be tough. And I wouldn't be shocked if they don't.
And I think the interesting thing with City, too, is when they got that injection of money, you know, their goals were as lofty as Manchester United, which sounded as ridiculous to us. And you look at United, they're not in that picture anymore. Now, and they might not be anywhere close to that picture for a couple of years, but that window for City to succeed now with United out of it, I think is quite limited. I know that's a very regionalistic and local way to look at it.
That's not a young team.
City.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Right. This is the time.
Yeah.
You can't wait a couple of years. Yaya's in his early 30s already. Right, you have to make, I think, inroads now.
Yeah, apparently, with the financial fair play and, you know, the homegrown talent and stuff, they shouldn't be able to make many moves. But always seems to be a way around that
there's
for these teams.
Yeah, but it's a small really squad, are, right? Yeah. They're restricted somewhat, but hey, their squad is so deep and such quality.
That
there.
Big academy up there in Manchester. Right. Where's Mickey Mankat? He's not in the squad, is he?
Bayern Munich. Who? I missed that one. Sorry,
Mickey Mankat. I was trying to like a local name. That's just making it up.
I thought it was a Mick McCarthy impression there for a second.
No, it was a northern impression. To Yorkshire? Okay, well.
To Yorkshire.
I didn't spend enough sober nights in Manchester, so I didn't absorb the accent well.
Bayern have signed a couple of doozies this week, eh? Bonaccia from Roma. Mm. Nice little story there. And, of course, Xabi Alonso. What a great signing. I know he's perhaps a little over the hill, but he's still a competent player. And what he brings
great
to that room.
Great squad player. Oh, never thought I'd say that, but great
the Champions
squad
League
player.
Too. Oh, yeah. Ideal.
They're so deep, it's disgusting.
Group F, Barcelona, PSG, Ajax, and Apoel Nicosia. Or Nicosia.
Which one is it,
Apoel Nicosia.
Which one is it,
Nicosia.
Dobby. I suspect it'll be...
what's this Nicosia?
I suspect we shan't be talking about them for very long.
No.
No, I don't think so either.
I see a big fat zero beside their name.
Poor Ajax, by the way.
Again,
every always. Year they get put in a group with Barcelona and some other giant, and they just have no chance of getting out. I think last year they were in that absolute group of death.
One with Brazil and West Germany, right? That one.
Yeah.
Get it? No, it's a really tough group. Brazil. We got 1970 it. Brazil, I should have said. And great West Germany team, 1990, say. Right. And let's throw in Hungary from the...
Keep digging, to quote Cam Stewart. I'm just glad that my Mickey Mank joke was taught by a worse
one now, you know? Just,
I just didn't really get it. That's terrible for them. But anyways, Barcelona and PSG had that really good quarterfinal two seasons back.
They did.
You know, they had to... PSG Barcelona lost had to on save goal themselves. Yeah, they lost on away goals. PSG played really well at the Nou Camp. I think that... You know, both these teams will have aspirations to have a long run. Barcelona, bounce back season for them. I think they need to win something this year to, you know, steady the ship a bit, because Real Madrid are overtaking them quite a bit, you know, as we saw in the Champions League, and even Atletico there. It's going to be really tough on the domestic front. And, you know, they should get through this group along with PSG, but to win it, I think PSG might even be the favorites.
Might
to win
be the
this
favorites.
Group.
Yeah, ooh, I think. Well, for the first time in years, literally for the first time in 6 or 7 years, I think Barca have to prove themselves
they
to
do.
Be considered
they
like
do.
The elite, or to be
absolutely.
Considered the unbeatable.
I like Barca this year, I have to say.
With Enrique and all, really,
I think this what Rakitic is a great signing.
As a Barcelona
back,
player,
don't
though,
this on that guy Suarez. Pretty decent. Neymar, Messi, Suarez.
Suarez,
and
yeah.
They haven't really addressed the back. I know they brought in a central defender, and that was, of course, the glaring need at the back. Of Vermaelen, I don't know. But honestly, with Suarez, Neymar, and Messi, if they're operating at full capacity by the knockout phases, they're going to be a tough team to beat.
Sure.
Who cares if you score two goals in them?
You're right.
They score nine.
That is an incredible front three. But as we saw last year, when they still had two and other options to provide up front, they didn't outscore their opponents, and they struggled to score goals against lesser teams.
Messi had something going on, whether it was off the field issues, the tax charges, whether it was looking forward to the World Cup. I don't know what it was. But was he fatigued? I don't know. But he looked pretty good last weekend, scoring two goals.
He did. But we saw that same trend last year that we'd seen in years past. When they go behind, God, do they ever struggle to go to overcome it and come up front.
I think Suarez fits in so well to that system.
I think
what
so.
They do, you know, off the ball, he's such a terrier, which is what, you know, that club demands of its players. Even Enrique
misses too. Yeah.
And that's the thing about Martino last year, the criticism was they were too stagnant under him. You know, they didn't have that freedom.
Yeah.
Which they showed under Pep.
He's got the Argentina job now, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Be a good role for him. But you mentioned Rakitic.
You utilized Messi so well.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
you got excited about Rakitic and you know, all the criticism for United signing Marcos Rojo and people saying, oh, wow, Marcos Rojo, like, this is not a United caliber player. I look at Rakitic and say the same thing. Guy won the Europa League.
Last year in the Europa League. He was fantastic.
I mean, I think, don't get me wrong, like, very good player, deserving of the honors of winning that title and getting a bigger money move and an improved salary. But I don't think he's Barcelona quality. I think he'll find himself out of a job and out of a spot quite quick.
This team signed Alex Song once upon a time, remember?
Yeah. Well, there's a few teams in England that could use Alex Song
right now. I saw on Twitter before I came up here, there was a picture. Alex Song tweeted a selfie having Barcelona dinner with all the guys in the background. This Dani Alves giving the finger in the background. It's nice. It's like, oh yeah, Alex Song's still there.
Yeah.
That's good.
The Last Supper, actually. That was maybe.
Yeah. Actually, I saw Luis Suarez in the background, and I was hoping for some, you know, really, you know, glaring, obvious tooth shot eating, but no, sadly.
Nothing.
Head bowed, mouth shut. Anyway. Group G, Chelsea, Schalke, Sporting and Maribor. Chelsea and Schalke met last year, of course. Chelsea won both those matches 6-0 overall. Well, Maribor beat Celtic. That's their story. Sporting have 90 now, so they're clearly a world force.
Yep. Favorites to win the group.
Schalke, I think, are a good team. I think it's Chelsea and Schalke.
I think so, too. I think that
Sporting
have the work cut out for them. It's capable of grabbing points. If they don't have to sell William Carvalho, they're, you know, of full value to contend.
His name's are back
contend.
In the mill at the moment,
well,
isn't it?
I think his name was always there, whether it's United or whether it's Arsenal. Or
seems a bit early for him, don't you think?
Yeah, I think
he could do it another year at Sporting.
I said the same for Marcos Rojo, too, especially to play in the Champions League and play for a team without the huge expectations, to play against opposition like Sporting have drawn now. We forget the development of these players because they come up and look like superstars at 19, 20. Oh, they're good to go. No, let them marinate in the oven a little bit longer. I think you're going to get a much better product.
Yeah, get more money for them as well once you sell them. So, yeah, I mean, those two teams, Chelsea and Schalke, again, meeting. There's so much repetition in these groups, which, you know, I guess can be good because...
It's a bit boring,
Be a little boring. I was a little disappointed with the draw overall when I think of it.
Group H sees Porto, Shakhtar Donetsk, Athletic, and Batir Borisov.
The Batir boys
back in there. I think that's, you know, that's something that jumps out as being the weak group, but that could be an exciting group. I mean, listen, Athletic's a really good team.
Yeah, and Shakhtar play good stuff. Shakhtar have always been entertaining.
Porto are. I mean, they just... You know, read a great article this week about Porto and their whole philosophy towards transfers, and this machine keeps
making
churning
money.
Over. You know, it's amazing.
Making
every year
me any money.
Well, it's their scouting system is ridiculous. You look back the last 12 years now, and all the players that at one point went. Think about any fantasy draft that you've ever been in, and you've had to pay the most for X player, whoever it might have been. Chances are if they're continental or have played on the continent, that they came from Porto at some point. Mm-hmm. Luis Fabiano, like the list is endless of all the players that they found before any of the big clubs did and sold them off for a killing.
Gerard Peters on sportsnet.ca wrote about it this week. Check it out. It's a really good and informative article. All right, let's rip through some Premier League news and some of the games here because we're running kind of short in time here. It's been a good
just over the
so
half
far.
An hour mark.
Relatively informative. Imagine that.
Can I ask the listeners a question while we're on the point of time?
They won't answer you.
Really quickly.
Yeah. Did anyone, by the way, call you out for the ice bucket challenge?
No.
Because either no one's listening.
And no one's listening.
Possible,
it's good.
Or
good,
they're
I
all cowards.
Do it.
Sorry, but
listen, you cowards that are listening. Call Dobby out. Get him to do the ice bucket challenge. If you've got toddlers in Yorkshire swearing about it, did you see that, by the way?
No, I didn't see that.
Didn't I text you the video?
No.
Oh, this toddler from Yorkshire. It's hilarious.
Just,
Yeah, probably. He blocked my text
into
messages.
Into the special Dunlop file.
Yes, the special young man. Yeah. Oh, he's a special young man.
It's like when you Brendan, you know.
It's just Brendan. A special young man.
Or there's, yeah, your Jamaican Geordies are fantastic, by the way. Do you have me on the, like, do not call Dunlop? Like when you break up with a crazy chick and you do not call list? Okay, that's it. You put me on?
Sorry, go ahead.
Just want to ask the listeners if they notice that these 40-minute podcasts are, I think, as good as the often lengthy ones we used to do in the past. Because I think
we're about 45 minutes in now, though, I think.
Well, we're only 35.
Are we really?
Yeah.
35?
35 minutes.
Oh, wicked.
Trust the man in front of the clock.
Let's waste some time then, shall we?
All right. News and views.
But I'm with you. I think shorter, to the point, less than drawn out is better. But they were always like 45 minutes, though, weren't they?
No, they were quite lengthy. We used to hit the hour a lot.
Maybe the TYK Wednesdays
were. We used to hit the hour a lot, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, just tweet us so we know you're listening, for God's sake. Do that.
Although we got one very nice tweet last
week. Yeah, we did,
I'm not sure whether it's been
entertaining,
facetious, though. I think this guy being facetious.
I think it was the best audio entertainment ever created. Was that not
something along those lines?
Last week was pretty good. Today we...
I think it's been better this week than last week, yeah.
Maybe I'm a little hungover. I feel a little sluggish.
Hanging out with you, Jays. Jays late at night.
Yeah. Shots with Casey Jansen? Eh?
Something like that.
Yeah. Turned down for what?
When you saw him at the bar, did you say, are you the guy that caught the ball? And threw it back?
No, he wasn't.
Didn't recognize
that.
You?
No.
Did,
All right,
go
what's
on.
Your Premier League news?
Premier beer goggles on.
Yeah, nothing
else.
Yeah,
I know.
Oh, was that Brett Cecil?
He was really hitting. Yeah, Cecil had his goggles on,
Anyway. God, we just go off on tangents.
I know.
I just can't wait till I get invited to the Sportsnet OHL night out in Mississauga. That might be what I'm invited to.
I get invited to nothing.
I'm in your boat, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm in your boat. They don't even pay for the hair product.
We're scum. We're not producers. That's his asshole beside us. All right, so to the Prem. Burnley against Manchester United. That's the early one on Saturday, and you can catch it on Sportsnet. Wow. Rooney, England captain now, as well as Manchester United captain.
Must win for Man United.
Boy, coming off a 4-0 loss to MK Dons. Now, I know they played some kids, but still. Wow.
Absolute
embarrassment.
Embarrassing for them. That's the most embarrassing loss they've suffered in quite a while.
That's, in watching it, you think, wow, and you almost can't help but laugh, unless you're a United fan, at the situation that they found themselves in.
There's no almost about it. You cannot help but laugh.
I ordered BN Sport at halftime just so I could watch the second half.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Right. Was it 20 a month?
$15.
Oh, okay.
Half price, though, $7.50.
Hey, yo.
That's worth it.
Yeah, boy. Let's just keep turning the viewers off Sportsnet World. Well done.
No, I have that as well, of course. But,
you
know,
should
games
have
on
both.
They have all the Carling Cup stuff. I want it all.
Capital One Cup.
All right. It's Carling Cup. Okay. It's the Worthington.
Actually,
it's the Milk Cup.
Rumbelow's Cup.
Is that what it is? The Worthington Milk Cup.
Didn't we have one of the Christmas quizzes had to name all the incarnations of the League Cup over the years? I think so.
We need to find a way to recreate this, by the way.
Yeah.
We get Thomas Rongen to come up and play our Quizmaster?
Whoa, guys!
Well, we get off track now. Get wrong
in
Quizmaster.
Who knows who's working where by Christmas, right? Seriously.
You make good points.
Tom Cleverley's leaving United, so that's good news.
Linked with Villa. Hey-o!
Yeah, he's having a medical.
Jesus. Oh, was that it?
Oh, yeah. God. Cleverley off to Aston Villa.
There was, I can't remember if I'd gone to bed reading the story about Welbeck, Cleverley, and who's the other one that they were shopping?
Kagawa?
And I thought... I'm like, you know what? It'd be great if like Villa aggressively went after Welbeck. He's English. Throw 10 mil at him. I think Arsenal should get him. But I think he'd be great to drive.
I actually quite like Welbeck.
Two guys there. Yeah. And then I thought, they're going to go for Cleverley. Sure enough, wake up, heavy length with Cleverley. Yeah. Give over.
Welbeck's always played well for England.
Yeah,
he's
a
really
player
hit the
that
mark
he's not
Man
a star,
no.
But he's a decent player. He's going to work his ass off for
player.
You. Yeah. He's got some good pace.
Played well for Man United against Real Madrid in the Champions League
he
as
did.
Well. Over,
I think if you've got a regular run of games, he'd score some goals for the right club.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would Arsenal be the right fit? You know, I think United's too big for him. I think Arsenal might be too big for him as well.
They might want to sell Javier Hernandez as well.
To me, he's a Spurs player, isn't he?
Welbeck?
Cheech?
Yeah.
Oh, Welbeck.
Totally a Spurs Welbeck.
Yeah.
Totally a Spurs player.
Sure.
I can see that fit.
Adebayor's had a nice start to the season, though. He's
good
scored
start.
A nice goal last week, yeah. He did. Di Maria's there now, of course. And what Van Gaal's saying is Van Gaal, by the way, not Van Gaal. He said that. Call me Van Gaal.
Have you not noticed, though, that a lot of the commentators are reluctant to accept this?
Yeah, but it came from him, though.
It did come from him. I can't remember if it was Drury I heard or someone who we respect very much and thought, he didn't say it, so what am I supposed to say?
Mm-hmm. If Van Gaal says, come Van Gaal, calling him Van Gaal, that's what I'm saying. But he says that there's going to be a huge turnout, like clear out this weekend. And with players leaving, players coming in as he rebuilds his squad. And it has to happen, doesn't it?
He also says it's going to take a couple of years to rebuild it. I mean, what a mess this has become so quickly, right? I mean, when Ferguson left, we knew it would be, you know, an end of an era and stuff. But still, I mean, obviously the Moyes thing. But now you look at it and you just thought, everyone was so quick to blame David Moyes for what happened. And just, okay, it was a one-year blip and here comes a real manager again and things are going to turn around like that. And no, they are not. They have had three brutal matches to start the year. They have 1 point out of the cup. I mean, all of a sudden, this is becoming the territory where they better turn it around quickly. Otherwise, the fans are going to, I don't know how long they're going to accept this.
Well, Van Gaal says, last year I was a genius, now I'm the demon, the devil. Yeah. Like, bit of a stretch there. Yeah. But I think this paints football and society in a really bad light, given the David Moyes treatment last year. When clearly, and we said it, I think a lot of people said it, Fergie knew what he was doing when he, you know, when he walked away. He wasn't leaving a great squad, and Moyes knew that. Moyes was handcuffed clearly by that guy making freaking transfers or not, Ed Woodward, who's having the same problems right now for Van Gaal. And it's going to be a long rebuild. Moyes was not given enough time. I'm not saying he's a better manager than Louis Van Gaal, perhaps not, but he was treated terribly last year. And now we're seeing that wasn't all on him.
Yeah.
And a lot of players as well.
So a couple things I thought about that. It's funny that you mention it now because I feel like it wasn't that long ago where we were talking about this and it kind of allowed you to think differently 10 months on and seeing Moyes fail. Fergie was never going to give the keys to someone who could do somewhat a competent job as him. It was always going to be to someone that was a real drop down, but someone that I think he trusted, had faith in to eventually maybe get, to a level to be great. But also at the same time, I feel like, as much as he knew Moyes or should have known Moyes had a real potential to fail in that situation, that the job was too big for him, I think that he had a real hand, obviously, well, A, in Moyes getting it, but B, in Moyes getting the security of sign a 6-year deal. If fails, they let you go. You're taken care of for a while. Yeah. Moyes doesn't have to work for 3 years.
No.
And he shouldn't.
He can pick and choose. He should go on the continent.
Absolutely.
Steve McClaren.
Do the Steve McClaren.
He's probably liking this quite a bit,
but
actually.
Take your time.
Nice chuckle.
He should be holidaying.
Yeah, I bet he is.
Yeah. He's on a patio in southern Portugal with Roberto Di Matteo somewhere.
He's in a pizza.
He looked pale and jaundiced now. Jeez.
Wendell.
Wendell from Simpsons. He says that he would have named Rooney captain as well, by the way.
Hmm. Yeah, right.
For what it's worth. He would have done. I mean, there was no other choices, let's be honest here. Man City, a tick on Stoker. Also on Sportsnet at 10, it's Newcastle Palace.
Sportsnet 10. When did we get another station? Sportsnet 10.
At 10.
At 10.
Neil Warnock back to Palace.
I was going
to
say, Van Gaal's relieved because with Neil Warnock, as a free agent, he's probably thinking, wow, if results don't go my way, I could be gone because of that kind of talent sitting there waiting for a job. I could be gone. So, Tom, I know you're a big Warnock fan given his days at the Blades.
Sure.
I love Neil Warnock, man. What a great character.
Yeah, he's a good
character. I'm not sure his credentials as a football manager, but he's been
there
for a long time.
But he's the kind of guy where, he has a long history of keeping teams up, and it's the kind of guy that they need. And
like the Sheffield United, you mean?
Well, all right. That was a low blow.
Leeds went pretty badly. Not his fault, mind you. That was just awful ownership.
Selhurst Park is a good place for him.
It's probably it's a bit of a safe hire, I suppose. It's funny, though. On BBC 5 Live this morning, they're interviewing Steve Parrish, this Palace chairman, and he was saying, listen, we interviewed numerous managers, even World Cup winners. And the reporter says, so let me get this straight, you chose Neil Warnock over a World Cup winner? I thought, which World Cup are we talking about here exactly? Like the
Could
volleyball World Cup, a swimming World Cup meet? Because is it Scolari? No. Yogi Love?
No. But it could be wanted as a player, right?
That's true.
Right. I'm trying to think
I think he was insinuating it was a World Cup winning coach.
Oh, God.
Not a World Cup winning player.
He was a water boy for somebody.
I don't know. But, maybe this was Pereira trying to get out of Portugal?
Backtrack managers,
Yeah.
Amy Jacquet? Probably not.
Yeah. I can't believe Kerbersley doesn't get it.
Wasn't it? Good job.
I can't believe Kerbersley didn't get the job. Linked with
that. Cleverly retires, takes Chris Appel's manager
job. There's the token Alan Kerbersley reference.
Yes.
this
saw him on the Premier League podcast, I like him. So on the weekends.
Like yeah. On TV, yeah. You mean? Yeah. You like him on TV? Yeah, I do as well.
He's informative.
I do as well.
Yeah, and he's got better. He's a bit more colorful now. He was very bland when he first started.
I think the fact that he's linked with every job is evidence that he's still quite connected, I think, with the right people, mm-hmm. which makes him a better TV guy.
Yep, for sure.
People that are removed don't have, you know, as good insight.
QPR take on Sunderland. QPR smashed by Spurs, then lost to Burton Albion in the
top. That's ridiculous.
Oh, Harry.
So jump off Villa, Harry. All you haters.
Who have QPR just signed? They just signed, who was it? I just saw it before I came in here. I was quite surprised by who it was.
I didn't see.
In the last day.
It'll come to me.
This is quite the unprepared podcast we've done today.
Yeah. Well, isn't that usually how we do podcasts?
Yeah, but this is, I feel like we've exposed ourselves quite a bit today.
I think we're pretty prepared in this. It wasn't a big name QPR just signed. Who the hell was it? Anyway, on Sportsnet World at 10 o'clock, Swansea take on West Brom. West Ham, Southampton also goes, of course. How about the Hammers losing to the Blades midweek, Tom?
Huge.
On penalties.
Big. We finally got some revenge for the Tevez affair. Second round, Capital One Cup, you know. We're in League One now. It's good.
Have it.
Still, it was great. I listened to it. It was very exciting.
Was it? I thought,
got Leighton Orient away in the third round. Another cup run coming. Let's go.
I thought West Ham would turn things around after that famous win last weekend.
Yeah.
Last weekend. Zerati with a nice goal there.
If I can answer Sharman's question, unless it's Jack Robinson from Liverpool.
Yes, that's who it was, which is really not a big signing at all.
I have a feeling, though, you're more concerned with Eduardo Vargas, who they're linked with, right? Or is that done?
No, it's done.
It's done.
Yeah, he's there.
Okay. So Jack Robinson, not Eduardo Vargas. That's who got you excited.
Yeah, just because I'm a Liverpool fan. I quite like Jack Robinson, so that was a good signing. But clearly, for the purposes of this podcast, completely irrelevant. Everton up against Chelsea. That's a late one.
It's a good
Great game on Sportsnet World. You can
Everton,
catch that.
2 points so far.
Yeah.
Could easily have
in
six.
In a tailspin, aren't they?
Could easily have six.
Tailspin. What a disaster. Eto is a toffee. This
crazy.
Is crazy.
That is weird.
I think he's gonna have a big impact?
No. He's done.
I think he's done, too. That's why everyone's like, oh, what a great sign.
He's like 42
years
old.
That's
age,
the kind
remember.
Of player that Everton is going to have an impact. Spending money on. And with those wages, he cut his wage limits at 90,000 a week. Oh, my God.
He retired from international football.
90,000 a week, that's Ballo money.
Yeah.
£2,380 less than Nani's making.
There you go.
Ridiculous.
Speaking of terrible strikers, Fernando Torres off to AC Milan.
Yeah.
Boy, do you think Chelsea needs some depth?
How much? 7 million was it?
You know
it?
What?
Was it
7?
I think that's what it was rumored. But, they only lost 43 million on it.
Yeah. It's crazy. Right.
That might be the worst signing ever. That's maybe worse than Shevchenko to Chelsea.
Andy Carroll
ago.
For 30.
That sucked. That was around 35. That's a. Man,
I think Torres
the same
is going to go.
Well, right? So, Torres or Carroll, what was the worst transfer? Pretty equally awful.
I think Torres will be remembered as being bigger because Torres was a star. Had like proven pedigree, and Andy Carroll had the potential
and went on that
crazy day. It was only because of that sale that Carroll won for that much,
same,
and now he's handcuffed for that.
Luis Suarez.
And when Carroll's playing in Turkey in 2 years and living off his glory days of one half season at Newcastle, he can blame Fernando Torres for all that.
Boy. Fabregas, 3 assists so far in 2 games.
He's incredible. Yep. But do Chelsea have enough cover? They let Torres go.
Yeah. I think they might need a striker.
Well, yeah, it was Costa, I think, went to bed last night. The rumor was Costa will be out for a month with something. Wake up today, realize he says he's going to be fit for Everton.
The same guy that said I'm fine for the Champions League final in 9 minutes.
I responded to that story with hashtag horse placenta.
Yeah, exactly.
It must have been a really small horse.
Okay.
It worked out well for 8 minutes in the final.
They got Drogba. It's fine. Yeah. They got their cover.
That's right. But even with Drogba, though, I think that team does need some more depth on all fronts. Because Drogba's not a 90-minute player anymore.
Yeah, they can play Schürrle, with
Drogba,
if they
want to.
They could
do.
Fab loves the false nine, right? As we all know. World Cup 2010.
They got a million good midfielders. Fine.
At first I thought you were taking the piss, but you're right.
They can play without a striker.
You're right. They have far better situation than others chasing a striker.
But Jose likes playing with strikers.
Yeah.
You're at 48 minutes, by the way.
Yeah, I got to go.
All right. Villa, Hull. Moving on from
there. Yay!
Spurs, Liverpool, Super Mario, Willy Starks.
Oh, God.
Will Eric Lamella steal the show? In your face, Dunlop, who was ripping
Get your
Lamella,
finger out of my face.
Ripping Lamella last week.
Because Lamella's shit. One good game.
I said face.
Yeah, I know.
In the whole time I've known you, Lamella has had 1.5 good games, okay?
That is not true. He was very good for Roma.
Yeah, really great at when he played at Rossing or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
Came from before.
Sportsnet on Sunday at 11 is Leicester against Arsenal. Esteban Cambiaso on his way to Leicester, by the way.
Wow. Awesome. Hell of a signing.
There's a big name for you.
Ronaldinho
they're
too?
Almost in the plucky Leicester category for me right now. They're playing really well.
Genk, Malmo. All right, I got to go.
All right, listen, we're out of time. Tom, thank you very much. Punners, thank you very much. Don't forget also this Saturday at 5 p.m., Toronto FC up against the Revs from BMO Field. And the Serie A, as mentioned, kicks off this weekend. For a little preview, check out my podcast with John Molinaro and some guests from Monday on this very website. Hope you enjoyed that. We're back at some point next week. It's, of course, an international week.
But now it's not Thursday?
No, it may be different next week.
Oh, okay.
I'll explain to you later why. As usual, professional outro. See you later.